Not a good week for the globalists. Andrew Lloyd Webber tells Pope Francis to leave the Latin Mass alone. Plus, this bane of the globalist existence makes Hungary the most pro-life, pro-family country in all of Europe. Holy Catholic revival, Batman! 200,000 Catholic Hungarians demonstrate massive fidelity to the faith of our fathers. By the way, why is this guy allowed to take his pudding out in the main dining room while this guy gets excommunicated? You know what they say, hell hath no fury like a merciful Pope scorned. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt. This is the Remnant Underground coming to you from remnant-tv.com. Quick word of thanks. Thank you so much. Most everyone now is watching us at remnant-tv.com. Really good news. Good news for all of us. Good news for us. Thanks to you. We couldn't have done it without you. And it really does prove that breaking that sort of big brother, big, you know, tech stranglehold is possible. So thank you. Thanks so much for making the switch over there. Things are going really well at remnant-tv.com. Thanks to you. First up tonight from the Resistance is Never Futile file, Team Francis is reportedly now backpedaling on plans to suppress the Latin Mass, the so-called final solution to crush the Latin Mass forever. La Croix International is reporting that several Vatican sources have denied the rumors that the Dicastery for Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments is preparing a final solution document that would ban the Latin Mass. Now, they are saying, according to La Croix, the Vatican is saying, we never dignify such ridiculous rumors like this, so we're not officially denying it, but we just are paying no attention to that type of thing, don't you know? Well, I hope so. I hope it's true. We certainly want it to be nothing more than a rumor. But in the meantime, we're going to stand by our story here in The Remnant. We reported from the newspaper.com the rumor, and we stand by it. We're not going to retract anything. It was presented yet in The Remnant newspaper by Diane Montagna. And her sources are all fantastic. So we're standing by it. We're going to wait and see. I think maybe it's a case of a trial balloon that kind of crashed and burned, to tell you the truth. But, you know, it's hard to say. But by the way, talk about history repeating itself since all of these rumors started blowing up. Yeah, the older folks in this audience are going to remember this. When I was a kid, I remember very clearly the pioneer traditional Catholics, Michael Davies, my father, all these guys, used to talk about what they called the Agatha Christie indult, or the Agatha Christie letter, which allowed the Latin Mass to continue after the suppression and introduction of the new Mass in England and Wales. It's a really, really strange story. As it goes, apparently when St. Paul VI was suppressing the traditional Latin Mass, some people brought him a letter from some famous, well-known literary figures and political figures as well in England. And at the top of the list was Agatha Christie, the mystery writer. And as the story goes, Pope Paul VI was a bit of a fan of Poirot and Miss Marple and all of that. And so he said, Agatha Christie. And it was based only on that, so the story goes, that he decided to allow an indult for the traditional Latin Mass to continue in England and Wales for Agatha Christie, who wasn't even a Catholic. I don't know if he knew that or not, but kind of a great story. And so it was really interesting that after the rumor that the Vatican was about to cancel the Latin Mass, again, we had our own modern-day Agatha Christie moment when the Times of London published a letter. We can throw a bit of that up on the screen right now. Signed by lots of really influential folks, Catholic and non-Catholic, imploring the Vatican now not to impose further unnecessary and insensitive restrictions on the Latin Mass. Kudos to Damian Thompson for having brought that to my attention, certainly on Twitter. And the list of signatories includes, astonishingly enough, Andrew Lloyd Webber. I guess he's Lord Lloyd Webber now, which is interesting. Of Phantom of the Opera fame, Dame Curie Te Kanawa, Princess Michael of Kent, Sir Andras Schiff, Tom Holland, and many, many others. Again, we'll put the list in the description of all these signatories. Everybody appealing to the Vatican to save the traditional Latin Mass. I don't know how much more it's going to take for this stubborn, obsessed Pope to realize how unpopular this is, how crazy this is from a political point of view, to keep pushing this. It's something nobody wants, you know? Nobody. And yet again, he's so ideologically driven, he is so non-merciful, He is so obsessed with this that he can't let it go. But at the end of the day, friends, whatever's going on over there, guess what? Resistance works. Rorate Chely sounded the alarm initially. We sounded the alarm. We confirmed it. The Vatican leak on this rumored final solution went viral, and Team Francis backed down. And that's exactly what we're going to continue to do. And the beautiful thing is now, traditional Catholics, traditional Catholic press, the media, the serious ones, the ones who have been at it for a while, in our case, 60 years, have got fantastic contacts around the world in the church, you know, in the hierarchy, in the Vatican. So we are able to do a lot more than we ever were able to do 50 years ago in terms of monitoring what's going on because, well, it seems that Francis has a lot of enemies. A lot of people up there do not want this man to succeed in this revolution to tear down the Catholic Church, right? So there's plenty of reason to fight. And so, yeah, rumors, leaks, they're going to get posted. They're going to get published in this newspaper, in thenewsroad.com, on this show down here in the underground. But as I mentioned last week, I'm not claiming to know for sure what's going to happen. I don't know if this crackdown on the Latin Mass is going to happen still or not. But we need to stand up and start screaming when rumors like this come out. So we're going to get into a little bit more on this final solution, as well as today's big news, automatic excommunication sentence, which was handed down by the Vatican to Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. But first, friends, tonight, our sponsor. It's very important that we keep the lights on down here. So our sponsor tonight is Charity Mobile, America's truly pro-life phone company. With 30 years in the business of helping the unborn, Charity Mobile right now is offering you guys a free phone with free activation plus free shipping. All you got to do is go to charitymobile.com/RTV and make sure you use the promo code RTV at checkout. And if you want to donate to The Remnant, they also have the ability for part of your payment to go to the charity of your choice. The Remnant is on that list, so you can help us there as well at charitymobile.com/RTV. So what is going to happen now? We're heading up to this election, this presidential election, which is just such a dumpster fire, such a clown world freak show that it's hard to even understand what's going on. I mean, I have no idea. Do you know what's going to happen? Is Biden going to stay in here? I mean, I can't imagine why or how. Nothing right now makes any sense from a political point of view, of course. But this is not about politics as usual. This is about ideology. This is about revolution. This is about the dismantling of the United States of America. This is about the Great Reset, as we've been talking down here for 5 years, right? So it's don't take much of anything that you see on face value right now, because it's all a game. It's all fake and gay. So your guess is as good as mine what's going to happen. I will say this. It's been fun to see the band of wacko lefties that have been running our country for the past 4 years, to finally see them exposed when poor old Uncle Senile Joe absolutely laid an egg in front of the whole world the other night. That was kind of fun, and everybody now is pointing out the obvious.
So now they're saying in some quarters, and important quarters, hey, he should step aside, he's not up to the job. But understand, they're only saying that not because they have any problem with having a president that has cognitive limitations and is in cognitive decline. They are perfectly willing to let the executive branch be run by a bunch of these staffers, these left-wing staffers who none of us elected. And they're totally fine to have a weekend at Bernie's presidency part two. They are totally fine with that. The reason why they're calling for that is not because they think it's important that a president can actually discharge the functions. No, they're calling for because that scene was so jarring that they understand he's going to lose.
And we were saying this, by the way, we were saying that he's a puppet. We were saying he was set up there to demonstrate the fact that the United States of America no longer needs an executive office, that everything is in flux, that everything is changed. We were saying this long before Joe Biden even became the 46th president. You might remember this little clip.
They don't need Joe Biden. They want to use him. He's going to be the biggest puppet ever in the history of this country. And at 12 o'clock noon, you see all these statues being torn down. We see buildings being burned. We see all this insurrection, all this riot, right? 12 o'clock noon, January 20th. If Joe Biden wins, he is going to be the monument to the U.S. presidency that they are going to tear down. That's why they want him in there. is they can control him and they can just fundamentally reset this country by destroying the presidency itself.
So that's exactly what happened. And now Biden and his band of merry Catholic apostates, which so many on Team Biden are Catholics, it's so embarrassing, but they have become the laughingstock of the world. Everyone now is out there making fun of these clowns.
After the debate, we ran a poll, and every single person we polled thinks that you're a retard. We polled African Americans. They all say you're a retard. Hispanic Americans also think that you're retarded. They call you El Retardo. We even polled actual retarded people. Even they say you sound absolutely retarded. You see where this is going, Mr. President?
Well, I just had a bad night.
Unfortunately, the same level of stupidity is going on in the Catholic Church, only it's not nearly as funny, and the stakes are much higher, actually. Again, this week, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano received his sentence of automatic excommunication. As you know, I have my disagreements with Archbishop Vigano, but that Archbishop Vigano should be excommunicated at this particular time in history, right? With all the sexual scandals, all the financial scandals, all the rot in the Catholic Church, starting at the Vatican and going down, the fish rots at the head, right? With all of that going on, then guys like Ted McCarrick, he's just fine. He's having his pudding out in the main dining room right now. He's doing okay, you know? He never got excommunicated. That's incredible. That's going to go down as one of the worst, most egregious scandals in the history of the Catholic Church. Alexander VI right now is going, well, I didn't do nothing like that. That's fantastic. Right? Francis is the worst. Absolute worst. Right? Vigano, Archbishop Vigano is out and Jimmy Martin is in. You know, they're just good people. Right, Jimmy Martin? Archbishop Vigano is out, and Father Marco Rupnik is in still. The sexual predator pal of Pope Francis, whose crappy artwork still hangs all over the walls of Christendom, the churches of Christendom, Catholic churches, all the way from Lourdes to Rome. It's still hanging there. Now imagine if you're a victim of sexual abuse, clerical sexual abuse, and you go to church, and there, screaming at you from the wall of your church is one of the hideous murals of Father Rupnik, right? A serial predator. Do you think that anybody, do you think the pastor, do you think the bishop, do you think the pope actually cares about your plight as a victim when they can't even be bothered to take down this pervert's artwork? Everybody's seeing this now. I pointed out last week, Cardinal Sean O'Malley's like, hey, guys, not good. Not good optics. This week, it's Bishop Joseph Strickland, who tweets, there should be no delay, no debate, no consideration, no compromise. The Rupnik atrocity should be removed immediately from all Catholic sites and apologies issued to the women violated by Rupnik. Anything short of this supports evil. God bless Bishop Strickland, who, by the way, will be at the Catholic Identity Conference, I'm thrilled to say. That's just the normal, natural reaction of any decent person, any decent Catholic, to what's going on, to the scandal that we have to put up with as Catholics. Oh, you care so much about the victims, huh, Francis? The marginalized, right? The other? Unless the victims were violated by one of your friends. Holy cow, that is hideous. That is blasphemously bad, sacrilegiously sick, isn't it? And here's an example, by the way, of what His Excellency Bishop Strickland is talking about. This is the Basilica of Our Lady of the Rosary in Lourdes, France. I've been there many times, beautiful places, where millions of sick and infirm pilgrims go every year to bathe and to pray, first to pray and then to bathe in the miraculous waters of Lourdes. Everybody knows about Lourdes, right? But now take a look at this picture a little more carefully. We're going to zoom in here. What do you see at the holy shrine in Lourdes? Well, that's the graffiti of a sexual abuser of Catholic nuns, a serial abuser. That's graffiti sprayed all over the walls of one of the most holy places in France. And it's evidently not going to come down, this artwork. No matter how many victims of Father Marco Rupnik stand up and scream their protest.
This is the first time that two former consecrated women who allege they were abused by mosaic artist Father Marco Rupnik have spoken out publicly. It is a case that deserves transparency. The victims deserve it. The Jesuits deserve it, in my opinion. And so do all of the faithful who pray in churches and find themselves in front of a Rupnik mosaic.
I was at the Vatican's sex abuse summit. I covered it a few years back.
At this point, it seems like there is not a serious approach to addressing this so much as there's a political cover-up. And that's what I say. In all due respect, we are sort of angry at this point.
And all the bleeding heart and gushing that went on about how much they care, right? Does anybody care about these ladies? Apparently not. Not even enough to take down the artwork. But Archbishop Carla Maria Vigano just got excommunicated. Got it. Okay, got it. See where the priorities are here. And the thing is, friends, when you think about it from the point of view of what's happening in the world right now, while Francis, Archbishop Francis, is out there excommunicating their personal enemies, which is what this is, I mean, excommunicating the people who question their super dogma of Vatican II, an idea that was condemned by Ratzinger, that was condemned by Pope Benedict XVI, that everything starts at Vatican II and that it supersedes all other councils. As we pointed out last week, Joseph Ratzinger was the one who said not all legitimate and valid councils were good. Many of them, he says, were a complete waste of time. And the final word on the benefits of Vatican II are not even, it hasn't even been spoken yet, said Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, the future Benedict XVI. So Archbishop Vigano, who spent his whole life as a priest in the Novus Ordo, by the way, a Novus Ordo priest who supported Vatican II, the Church of Vatican II, in his old age, he starts going, wait a minute, there's something wrong. What is this? I don't recognize this as Catholic anymore. And he has to get excommunicated, right? But the questioning the Second Vatican Council is not a mortal sin. It's not a heretical act, right? But they're calling it a schismatic act.
This council created many calamities, so many problems, so much misery in reality. Seminaries closed, convents closed, the liturgy was banalized, and the true council has struggled to materialize, to be realized.
Francis is making the mistake. As Napoleon said, when your enemy is in the process of making a serious mistake, don't interrupt him. Because Francis, what he's doing right now, the double standard that he's involved with, is something the entire world, even liberals, can look at and say, that in the middle of the Me Too movement, what are you doing? We have the opportunity here to expose what's happening effectively. Because while he's out there excommunicating people like Archbishop Vigano, This you know, an elderly man now who's sick and tired of what's going on. Like I said, he's getting a little cranky. While he's doing that, the world is falling into a darkness, a chaotic darkness, like I don't think has any precedent in human history.
Gentlelady yields. Chair recognizes Ms. Mace from South Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Biden administration's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in April of this year updated guidance on what constitutes sex-based discrimination. Insists that biological men use the bathroom or locker room designated for biological men and not terrorize women and girls in the girls' bathroom. Workplace discrimination. Which leads me to my first question, Ms. Wiley. Can you define what a woman is?
A woman is a person who says she is.
Biological women are real women. A guy born as a man who wants to pretend to be a woman in a locker room with underage girls is disgusting. I have a daughter. She turned 14 last year. I took her to a store called Aerie. She was taken to her dressing room by a biological male in a miniskirt and a lace bralette. It is absolutely disgusting that we're redefining what women are and allowing men into women's private spaces. Just a few weeks ago or months ago, where this guy in his boxers is in the locker room shaving, and there's an underage girl in a towel in the locker room with him. This stuff is disgusting, and I'm going to do everything in my power as a conservative woman in this country, in Congress, to protect all of our women and girls from this lunacy that's happening in the country today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So good for her. God bless her. But on the other hand, can you even believe that we're actually talking about this stuff? Did you get used to it? Have we all gotten used to it? What is she talking about there? What is happening to us? What kind of monsters have we become? Are we even now possibly, is it possible that we have officially become the sickest people, the most perverse, sick people in the history of the world? Is it possible? Think about this. Powerful people, as we just saw, powerful people in the halls of government, powerful governments actually want to pass laws protecting men who want to dress up like women and have access to little girls in the bathrooms of the world. Those guys were being arrested just a few years ago. Now, in a moment, I want to talk about what this actually is. What this actually is the ape of God. What we're looking at is a new and demonic religion. It's not politics. This is a spiritual war where the so-called ruling elites, many of whom, let's not forget, are practicing Catholics, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Gavin Newsom, the list goes on and on. Catholics, right? Positively obsessed with the moral issues. What happened to the Catholic Church to produce such cretins, such miscreants? Obsessed with the moral issues. First and foremost, obsessed with protecting the rights, the inalienable right to infanticide, to kill babies in the womb.
If you, the American people, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
We cannot get used to this.
Tonight, President Biden wrapping up the G7 summit in Italy after a private meeting with Pope Francis. The president, a devout Catholic, greeted the pontiff.
A devout Catholic. This is real Twilight Zone stuff now, only much more demonic than anything Rod Serling ever thought of. To kill or not to kill babies in the womb is not a political issue, friends. It's a moral issue, right? Two guys getting married, two women marrying each other, gay marriage. This is not a political issue. This is a moral issue. This is a moral issue. It's a violation of the law of God, right? Transgender ideology is not political. Climate change is not political. Climate change is a credo, right, of a new religion that includes now a religious fanaticism such as most of us have never seen, a religious fanaticism. Right? Don't you see it? You see it every day, right? People, your neighbors, all over the place, all around you, lining up by the millions to vote for maniacal freaks, gurus, monsters, politicians who promise to cut off their food supply. Vote for me and I'll cut off your food supply and we'll save the planet. Vote for me and I'll restrict your movement. I'll take your car away. I'll abolish your home and all the private property you have. You will own nothing and be happy. And then, while you're bored with nothing to do and you don't own anything, we'll cut off your body parts. Just come on down. If you have any kids, if you happen to get any kids past our abortuaries, well, let's have their genitalia mutilated, shall we? Murder your own babies in the wombs of your wives. We're going to protect that right forever for you. Well, what is this, friends? Oh, and by the way, vote for us and we will show you how. We'll protect you when you get tired of dear old mom and dad and you decide to terminate them through our new draconian euthanasia laws that they got going up in Canada, right? Have you ever heard or have you ever even fathomed of a political platform that includes all this? If you think for one second that we're still dealing with politics, I'm sorry, you're missing the plot here, right? Brainwashed zealots by the millions are now ready, we'll call them Americans, but their brainwashed zealots are ready to sacrifice, aren't they? To sacrifice everything even their lives, their logic, their reason, even their lives for this new religion. That's why it doesn't do any good to point things out. That's why you can't have any discussions or debates with these people. These are religious fanatics, such as the world has rarely seen. Although it's happened in smaller, on the smaller scale.
Somewhere in Jonestown, human guinea pigs were testing cyanide that was mixed in a vat of Flavor Aid. Flavor Aid was a cheap Kool-Aid knockoff. As people are gathering in the pavilion, Jones took the stage. And we don't have to wonder what was said that day. There was a tape running. It's known now as the death tape.
How very much I've loved you. How very much I've tried my best to give you the good life. If we can't live in peace, then let's die in peace. No more, no more, no more.
What kind of a leader could order mass suicide?
Now, that was then. That was then, friends. Today, which is one of the reasons we're getting off and moving off YouTube, because we're not supposed to talk about this. But today, millions, hundreds, maybe thousands of millions and millions of people are injecting that same Kool-Aid right into their arms.
The vaccines have ravaged the population in the world. Worldwide, two-thirds of people took a vaccine. United States COVID Community State Study shows 75% of Americans took a vaccine. Thankfully, 25% didn't. The COVID-19 vaccines in the United States, 94% of Americans took a messenger RNA vaccine. It is the genetic code for the potentially lethal spike protein part of the virus. It was the worst idea ever to install the genetic code by injection and allow unbridled production of a potentially lethal protein in the human body for an uncontrolled duration of time. Everything we've learned about the vaccine since they've come out is horrifying.
And why do the people do this to themselves? Why'd they do it? Why'd they submit to it? We didn't. It's one of the reasons I think Francis really hates us, is because pretty much as a whole, traditional Catholics refused to submit to the Kool-Aid vat drink, right? So why did everybody else go for this? It's because we have a religion, we have a God, we have a moral code that prevented us from going and joining their religion, you see? They're doing this, they did all of this, poor people. They're deceived, of course, they're brainwashed, of course, but they're zealots. And they're doing this because the new religion demands it. So just as Catholics used to offer things up and make sacrifice and even be willing to be martyrs, right, for Christ, for the truth, you have the same thing happening now with this ape of God that's forming all around us. It's a new religion. And that's why the only thing that matters, the only force on earth that can stop this, is the true religion, right? The traditional Christianity that everyone from Team Davos to Team Biden to Team Francis seems hell-bent on eradicating from the face of the earth. You see why we always have to go back here to Francis and what's happening in the Vatican? Because he's part of that new religion. He's making war on the old one. Why else would he be trying to target and terminate the Latin Mass of 2,000 years of church history, church patrimony, surgical patrimony? Why else would he be doing that? So they're eradicating the old faith. So, well, that's too strong of a word. You can't say eradicate. They're not. Really? Too strong of a word? Because right now, any country, there's a few of them that are left that are doing anything, but right now, any country that stands for the old religion, that stands up for the rights of God, that stands up for family and Christian morality, any country that does that is by their definition, by the definition of this new lexicon, this new moral code, this new religion, is by definition evil. Have you felt this? You've seen it. You've been told on TV who the evil ones are, right? It certainly isn't Joe Biden. Right? It's not us. It's the evil ones over there in Eastern Europe. So here, for example, is what the face of evil looks like in the country of Hungary.
Business, doctor.
Thank you. Az élet ajándék. Szülőnek lenni életre szóló kaland. Ne hagyd ki.
Over at remnantnewspaper.com right now, in fact, Remnant columnist Angeline Tan has been doing fantastic work. If you're not visiting remnantnewspaper.com every day, you got to do it. Got some fantastic writers, including Angeline Tan, who reports this yesterday or the day before, that the evil dictator now, Viktor Orban, over in Hungary, he's defending these pro-life, pro-family videos like we just saw. He's defending these pro-life, pro-family policies of his country and his parliament at this recent demographic summit in Budapest called Family, the Key to Security. So we'll throw some of those images up on the screen. Now, this is an event at which the evil dictator spoke at this. A lot of Catholic, there were bishops and priests were there as well. Probably Orthodox, I'm not sure, the entire list. But this, the event organizers proudly advertise this. We'll throw this up on the screen as well. Well, listen, imagine if somebody was in our country was advertising the American government, the current administration in these terms. On their website, you see on the screen, it says, quote, Hungary has built one of the world's most innovative family policy models over the past decade. Standing up for traditional family values, supporting family formation and home creation, protecting life and the traditional family. We have a long way to go, but we are so proud of the results that we have achieved so far. We have the highest rates of marriage and childbearing in all of Europe, while divorce and abortion rates are falling. But according to the American ruling elite and their lackeys in the cable news media, an evil dictator runs Hungary. So you see what I mean? We are in the middle of a war on God, a war on his church, a war on Christian morality, a war on the Christian family, even a war on sex as God created us, man and woman, you know? That's what's going on. And the really interesting thing is, that, again, right at the heart of this, we're never out of the news, are we? It's the traditional Catholic counter-revolution that's at the very heart of this. You know, and that's why it's so important that we play our cards right, that we come together, that we say our prayers, that we have good and sound strategy, that we don't enjoy this too much. If you're looking at somebody on YouTube and they seem to be having just a lot of fun making fun of Bergoglio, and you know, just really ripping on the whole crisis in the church, I can tell you this from personal memories. Whenever Archbishop Lefebvre spoke about the church of his time, even after they had declared an automatic excommunication against him. Whenever he spoke about the Pope, Pope John Paul II, whenever he spoke about anything that was going on in the church, he had practically had tears in his eyes. You can see this.
Je suis prêt à aller m'agenouiller au pied du Saint-Père, mais non pas pour lui dire, très Saint-Père, dites-moi de me faire protestant, demain je suis protestant. Jamais.
When you look at his 1988 address, for example, he's like, we have changed nothing. We are just handing down what was given to us. We're keeping the faith. We are not revolutionaries, right? And you can see it in his eyes. He's practically crying, friends. And every one of us should have the same spirit no matter what happens, no matter how hard we fight. Our church, our mother is in chains. She's being scourged. She's being humiliated. She's being raped. This is not a time to take it loosely and make fun of everybody and count, you know what I mean? That's just wrong, right? This is a war against God, and we have to find out how we can come together and prayerfully become the crusaders and the soldiers of Jesus Christ that God wants us to be. And that means suffering, and that means a level of seriousness and gravitas as we come together to fight and to keep the faith. This is why the only theater, if you will, in this war that matters to me is the one for the soul of the Catholic Church. It's the only one that matters. Until that's fixed, nothing else is going to make any difference. You know, nothing's going to make any difference. Nothing will have any shelf life. Nothing will last until the moral authority of Christ's church is restored. A moral authority which at the moment is calling for the blessing of sodomitical relations. Couples. And so what we have to do here, friends, is we have to pull ourselves up by as best we can, and we have to understand that we're going to need to stand against the authority in the church, the worst pope in history. Okay, now what does that mean? I'm going to leave you with this because it's so important that we get this right. Okay, so the way I see it, and I've been in this fight all my life, I remember, I was a weird kid, I guess. I remember sitting at the feet of Michael Davies and, you know, being confirmed by Lefebvre and my father, you know, listening to him 24/7 on all these issues as the church was blowing up. And I remember back in the day, they would cite men such as Thomas Cardinal Cajetan, you know, the 16th century theologian, best known, I guess, for his defense against the errors of Martin Luther. Now, I want to give you like a distilled, almost a childlike version of the, or formula, simple formula of what Cajetan said, teaches. I want you to go look it up, first of all, because it's all readily available online. But I want to just distill it down to what I, as a little child, was hearing over and over and over again back in those days. And that was this: only God and a future pope can judge a reigning pontiff. It sounds so easy, doesn't it? But that's essentially what this great prince of the church, Cajetan, Cardinal Cajetan, that's essentially what, that was his whole point on this issue. And this is so important. And it also provides great consolation for all of us who are struggling. Like, how do we do this? We're Catholics, we're faithful Catholics. We don't be in opposition to the Pope. What the heck? This is retarded. It's crazy, right? Nobody's comfortable here. We don't want this to last, right? So how do we reconcile this? How do we get through this, okay? Well, Cardinal Cajetan says he mounts a vigorous defense of the supreme authority of the papacy. And I love this because it's almost ironic in a way. In the course of defending the papacy, the supreme authority of the papacy, established by Jesus Christ, upon this rock I will build my church, right? The Pope has no superior because Jesus Christ, as Christ's vicar, as the vicar of Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ can sit in judgment of the Pope. Does it begin to sort of make sense to you what we got to do? Remember, last couple shows ago, I said this thing with Francis, between Francis and God, we as lay people, we as sheep can just kind of wait and see, keep the faith and see how God resolves this. Well, that's basically Cajetan. If a pope falls into error or even heresy, says Cajetan, while we cannot depose him, we just can't because we don't have the authority to do so, we can, and he suggests that we must point out his errors so that other people don't fall victim to a bad pope. Bad popes are possible. Bad popes can sin. Popes can sin to the extent of going to hell, right? Stay away from the Protestant caricature, which says the pope is Christ, not the vicar of Christ. The pope could never sin. That's what Catholics think. The pope could never go to hell. That's what Catholics think. Absolutely untrue, right? So we can point out the errors of a bad pope, even refuse to obey him, and be anything that he says or he orders which contradicts the faith, right? This is the position. This is the one that's been tried and true all my life, 50, 60 years. We demonstrate our loyalty to the church then and to the papacy so we don't become Martin Luther and just run off and start our own thing and condemn and tear down the papacy. That's not the point. The papacy is going to save us. The rock of Peter is the only thing that will save us after this storm blows over. Do you see? You can't pull apart the papacy. You can't pull it down. You have to humbly submit to the authority of God and to the authority of a future pope. The future pope will pronounce judgment. I can't do it. I can't do it myself. I don't have the authority to do so. And Cajetan talks about the fact that God will use the papacy and a future pope to resolve the crisis through which we're going right now. We have no authority to judge Francis. So we simply cannot allow him, Francis, to divide us, you see? And that's what's meant by unite the clans. I don't want to unite the clans. I don't want an umbrella organization where all the clans come together and become one big target that just gets terminated by the powers that be, right? But unite the clans just means come together, keep the faith, don't attack each other. Even if you see this, some of these issues, like is Francis the Pope or not, just move away from it. Stop attacking everybody, the good guys who don't see this yet, or the people like us who say, you know what, I see the problem. I believe the church teaching is that I can't judge this. It's not up to me. God will judge Francis in God's good time. The papacy will save the church ultimately, right? So you don't tear it down, but it's not up to us to do that. So we pray for Pope Francis, pray for him every day. We pray for him to convert. We pray for him to repent. We point out his errors. They're all over the place right now, you know? And then we fall back humbly on what Holy Mother Church has always taught her children. You can let these things resolve themselves, let God fix it. In the meantime, we know, love, and serve God in this world so we can be happy with Him forever in the next. We can actually do that with or without a good pope. So to wrap up, to conclude, every week, you know, I just think it's so important. We try to do everything we possibly can to stay together. Even when you find that you're at odds with somebody, like right now I'm at odds with my good friend, don't anathematize. You know, be patient, pray for each other. Don't condemn, don't throw each other under the bus. This isn't our fault. We didn't create this mess, right? And every week I try to come up with something. It's actually not very hard because things are changing at the ground level. Trying to offer a bit of proof that this sort of resurgence of faith and belief and hope and charity is happening all over the world, despite the errors of Pope Francis. Maybe because Francis is so, I'm sorry, he's so out of control that many, many more people are waking up because of him. That's what I think is happening. So this week I want to take you back to Eastern Europe where hundreds of thousands, we were bragging about chart 10, 20,000, 30,000. Now I'm going to show you something amazing. Hundreds of thousands of our Catholic brothers and sisters in Christ coming together every Pentecost to proclaim the kingship of Jesus Christ and to swear fidelity to the faith of our fathers. This is what it looks like.
Several hundred thousand people are attending this year's Pentecost pilgrimage to Csíkszomjó. This is the largest pilgrimage of Hungarians everywhere, and it's been organized for 450 years.
Pilgrims waited in large crowds on the square in front of the church. Several hundred thousands of people arrived to Csíkszomjó from all parts of the world. The area was filled with pilgrims. Pilgrimage started with the traditional procession as usual. The crowd moved to the venue of the Holy Mass. Every year, more and more people come by foot to the Pentecost event. The Csíkszomjó pilgrimage's motto this year is a request put into words 450 years ago. Keep us in the faith of our ancestors.
Now, as you notice, that was a couple of years ago, but this thing is only getting stronger, just like the Sharp Pilgrimage is only getting stronger. And I just received an email on this from a person living over there who said it was a huge success this year. And this clip that Walter's going to throw up was taken just a few weeks ago in May, again, on the Feast of Pentecost, which is interesting, the birthday of the church. It seems like on the birthday of the church now, we're seeing signs of the birthday of the restoration of the church as well. Even after 70 years behind the Iron Curtain, oppressed by an evil, communist, atheist regime, the faith of our fathers is emerging. It's survived. It's blossoming. It's coming back, friends. Right? It's a sign from heaven. That's what we can expect in the future throughout the whole world. If they can survive the Soviet lockdown, we can survive the COVID lockdown, right? And whatever stupid climate lockdown might be in forthcoming in the future. They kept the faith. They kept the faith in Eastern Europe, in Hungary, in Romania, in Poland, in Russia, and down south. They kept it in Africa. We're going to find that out in a few weeks when I go to Africa and unite with the clans down there who have kept the faith, right? So now it's just up to us today to keep the faith here in America. We got to do this, and we're doing it. We're going to make it. Can't give up. Can't get bitter. Can't get stupid. Stay united. You know, I mean, think about it. These old, crusty globalists now, whether it's Biden in the state or Francis in the church, what are they doing? They're waking everybody up. Biden is so out of control now that Joe Rogan sounds like Rush Limbaugh. Did you see that one coming? Because I didn't. Francis is so out of control now that Scott Hahn sounds like Michael Matt half the time. Have you noticed? Sorry, Scott, but it's true. I mean, everybody is moving in the direction of tradition. Really good things are happening, friends. All we gotta do, as Cardinal Cajetan told us to do, just hang on. Just hang on a little longer. Keep the faith of your fathers. Don't be deterred from that. Don't be scandalized by bad shepherds. Take your children away from these people for a while. I did it. Most of us are doing it, right? Whether it's homeschooling or underground chat, whatever it is, right? Say your prayers in peace. Go to your Mass in peace. Be at peace, says Cardinal Cajetan. even when you have to resist the reigning authority in the church for a time. Right? That's where we're at. And we wait for the Good Shepherd, Christ the King, to gather his flock together all around him. We wait for Christianity to rise again, as she always has, and as she always will.